Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's call. We're working with the combo or extra emotions, as I sometimes refer to them as. Not that they're really extra, they're just like extra, but on any regard. But they are combination emotions of the basic five, six emotions from a Chinese medicine perspective. So wherever you go, people will be talking about emotions in different organizational structures and the lay of the land that I've chosen is to be in alignment with the body talk way of representing that, which is routinely relying on the five medicine. This is an interesting pop-up. Sorry, the five medicine understanding or the five element Chinese medicine understanding of that. So, for our session today, we're working with not necessarily the clear cut like fear, anger, grief, worry, sadness, joy. We're working with how they all can intertwine in various different ways, and what that looks like varies with the individual. It becomes something that's kind of unique in a way. So the experience of that is never quite the same for any one person, and how that interacts, as all the emotions do, with your personal history and the way that you have shown up in behaviors, the ways that you've seen the role models. The ways that our society culture teaches us to be in those emotions is part of the messaging as well that we're here to become aware of. So for today, I'm inviting you to settle on in and beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant and neutral, taking time to savor it, taking time to be with it, and taking time to drink it in. And that's a really important piece to this all, taking time to just simply be present in a way that lets you take in something that's maybe, just a little bit different than our ordinary pace of life and interacting with our world. There's something about that pause point that feels really juicy to be with. And in this place, otherwise known as space, of the pause, I'm going to invite you to see if you can get curious. I'm going to invite you to scan either your inner environment or your external environment. And as you scan, the invitation is to find something in your field that's pleasant, easeful, beautiful, or just simply even neutral to be with. And as you take a moment to look around your spaces, I'm gonna ultimately invite you to land on one thing in particular. And as your attention lands on that thing, invitation to notice what the qualities, what the pieces of it are that you really appreciate. My attentions, I have like the most gorgeous new plant on my my desk, not to make the other plants jealous. You're all really gorgeous. And this one has a variegated leaf color that's pink and darker green. And the thing that's catching my attention about it isn't even so much the color itself, but it's like the way that the light is shining through the leaf right now, through the pink and the green. I can see almost like a kaleidoscope. It's sort of like the way the light is being shone through. It sort of like makes it disperse outward in some ways. It makes it kind of fractal in nature, just the way the light is in my particular location right now. And also there's the space in between the shards of light. So even within the light, there's varying colors. So it's like the leaf is variegated, as is the quality of light that's shining through. And as I drink in that component of it and I breathe that in, it keeps me present to the various different possibilities versus sometimes I can get caught up in like black and white thinking. I get caught in like it has to be this way or that way. And I forget that there's actually all the potential factors in between. And it's pretty easy for I think most humans to fall into some level of frozenness around naming things, or not necessarily naming things, pardon me, frozenness around their patterns, ways of cognitively perceiving the world. So as we take time to be with it in this way, for myself, it's opening up just like possibilities that extend beyond my usual ways of perceiving information. And there's like options in between the two. Now for you might be noticing something different. You might be noticing like the color and that it reminds you of something about yourself that you really liked. And there might be like the size of the thing, the shape of the thing, that's like oh, that reminds me of something else that feels really good for my system. So whatever it is that you're present to, I mean, but you should just slow down even more to be with it and to breathe it in. And as you breathe it in, the invitation as you savor it is to notice what it is, pardon me, how it is the body responds and how it receives that information. As your body response is noted, if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor that too, taking time to drink that in. To receive it and to welcome it just a little bit deeper. And as you continue to drink in, welcome, I'll offer these words amongst all that juicy savoring. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. Thank you to all of our compassionate helpers, both seen and unseen, that gather here with us. And the deepest of thank you that those have that pardon me, the deepest of thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded the very lands that we all individually rest upon. Knowing that this has nourished not just us, but our families before us, our ancestors before them, and our entire lineage. Thank you for your rich guidance and luxurious ways of vitally receiving this life. Without you, we would not be here. And thank you. And thank you to the earth that holds us, the sky above, reminding us what it is to have space, especially in those times where it feels like there isn't any. And right now in your lives, if you're feeling any sense of lack of spaciousness, I invite you to drink in the sky, so just that. And then I'll offer my thanks to the water, drinking in the beauty of this life to the very core of our being. And thank you to the fire that rises with through the ashes, through the smoke, to source itself, connecting us to the most expansive states, connecting us to what it is to reach our full potential without burning out, but by means of sparking, blossoming, and becoming alive in our expressions, in our bodies, in our minds, in our souls, in our spirits. Thank you. Oh, Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings in your journey today. Okay, so we're working with the cellular repair around, and this is going to vary for each of you in terms of location to a degree, but it's primarily impacting various different locations of the nervous system. So for some of you, that might be more in the sympathetic, which is like our fight flight. For some of you, that more might be more so in the, we talked about this a lot in Trauma Freed, so forgive me for those of you who know this material really well. But for some of us, that's going to be more in the dorsal vagal component of our parasympathetic nervous system, which means the part of our nervous system where we can enter like a freeze response and we can shut down. And there is also the ventral vagal portion, which is actually the part that connects us to rest. So some of you might have this here. And for some of us, it might be more in the gut brain, the heart brain. For some of us, it might be more in the social engagement portion of our nervous system. And that one's beeping the loudest and the strongest out of all of them, along with the heart brain. But there might be some pieces that go through all of it. And it's around the different stressors that may have arisen from, in part, last session, last week. But just in part, in general, any time where, because last session would have been helpful to flesh this out, any time where we go, that's not me, and the various different dynamics that can evolve within that. So meaning, if we don't like something out there, but we want to keep it out there versus like see our part in that, which is not, that's said in that way, in a way that can be taken kind of egregiously even, and it's not meant to be, but it can certainly be perceived as such. Now, what it more so is, and I'll try to point to it in a different way if I can, so it's not meant to be like you're doing this and that's something else that's wrong in your life. It's more a opportunity, an invitation, an opportunity to go and get curious around like, hey, that does kind of bug me. I wonder why that bugs me. And that's the moment when we have space to actually begin to challenge our perception, to understand our perception through a different lens, and to potentially gain a new insight or a new awareness. However, the cellular repair is more so directing to the times where there just isn't enough space to be able to do that. And there's going to be lots of places and points in our history that are just too tightly wound to be able to like instantaneously just perceive whatever's happening out there. It might even be something little or big. But if it's something that's just too sticky in our nervous system and we try to push through it to understand what it is and we don't do it through a soft lens, it can create wear and tear on the nervous system, and we're essentially running a cellular repair on those points where you're overworking, where you're trying so hard to find the point that it actually becomes the defense to find the point of entry into the curiosity, into the insight, into the wonder, the awe, into the new awareness, if that makes sense. So as we work with the cellular repair, I could simplify that all and just say that's the points in time where you're overworking and you're kind of just spinning your wheels. You're not getting anywhere, but it's actually just making everything almost even like kind of worse. Speaking from personal experience, the website has been a little bit challenging as of late. And I've been through now 3 different companies and I feel like I've been doing nothing but spinning my wheels. So it's just like, what the fuck is this? And then if I have enough space in my nervous system, and some days I really don't, because I just want it done and fixed and over with. Now, if I have enough space in my nervous system, I can begin to go like, oh, okay, there's a certain level of demand in my system to make this happen because I'm feeling the pressure from other people that are accessing my website to be able, such as you guys or and others, to be able to provide that, and then feeling all the this pressure in the middle. Now that's an exact replica of how I felt in my household, in my childhood. I always felt under pressure from two different parents who wanted two different things. One wanted something to happen, and one wanted something to happen for them in particular. I'm not saying that very well. Let me see if I can find different words. I might not be able to. But it replicates the exact energetic dynamics of somebody wanting something and me being caught in the middle because it actually needs to come from somebody else, not from me. But there I am in the middle of this thing, right? And I am the one that's accountable in the website land, but I'm not so much accountable in the childhood land, and it seemed that way anyways. So now as an adult, I get into these stickier situations where I feel this kind of pressure. And there's also part of me that has really used pressure to drive motivation, to drive my, I'm gonna make something happen, I'm gonna do something. Okay, this is like too much. I'm gonna like use this energy to redirect it and do something different. So it's actually also been a source of productivity in my past. So I've looped together pressurized situations to be productive, which means the only way to get anything done has to be like hellishly stressful. As one example. And then on the other side of that, I can begin to tease apart the various elements of that. And that's again on a good day. That's again on a day where I have space for it. If I don't have space for it, I'm just grinding my gears, my nervous system, and it's usually just ramping up my will to be like, fuck, this isn't about me. Like, how am I caught in the middle of this shit again? So I hope that helps to make sense of what I'm speaking to within that example. Now, the cellular repair, and that's just one example, may relate more so to other people around the sense of the various different times where you like put out your neck, the various different times where you said, almost like a knee-jerk reaction, like, oh, I'll take care of that for you, but you really didn't mean to. And that's all stemming from this belief system in this example that I need to do something to earn your acceptance, your love, your interaction, your company. And we could go on, but I'm going to not belabor any other examples, but I think you get the idea. So as we work with the cellular repair within the nervous system, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health, particularly focusing on the space between. It's the synaptic gap, it's the synaptic cleft. And this is where like the dendrites and the axons, to use some fancy words here, begin to figure out how to give and receive information. So in the synaptic gap, it's actually a specific pause point to slow things down to figure out, okay, how are we going to receive things? How are we going to send things? And then the arc of information passes to the next nerve cell, and then it is up to that nerve cell to figure out how it's going to receive it. As that happens, there can be kind of like telephone tank, if you've ever played that game as a kid, where one person whispers a message into your ear, and then you whisper what you heard to somebody else's ear. By the time it goes all the way around the group, it doesn't make sense in terms of the original message anymore. It can be totally convoluted. There's a little bit of, I'm going to say, distortion process that can happen in that giving, in that receiving. So it's happening literally at the level of the nervous system, synaptic gap, synaptic cleft. And it's basically perpetuating misunderstanding, misperception. And as we percep as we propagate that misunderstanding, that misperception, we then make false judgments, assumptions, etc., everything else. Now, this certainly isn't, I'm not the first person to talk about this in any way, shape, or form. There's a lot of people who speak to these different dynamics in various different ways. Byron Katie is one of them. The various different, oh, I'm losing my train of thought just a second. Going back to the perception part, it's linking specifically into the senses. And the senses, in particular eyesight, we're going to work with the three eyes, not just the two obvious ones, but also including the third eye for intuition, for insight, for awareness in its own way. They're meant to receive information and come to it from a more balanced perception to get around the misunderstanding. I need to talk just briefly about the etymology of the word understanding. So understanding literally refers to a call to intimacy. So it's I want to be understood from like the inside out is essentially what this is saying. So understanding in Latin, it comes from an under and interweaves, pardon me, with the word intimacy. So understand literally is an invitation to please see into myself. So if we're craving understanding, we're looking for people to see into us. If we're craving understanding for ourselves, we're also craving an invitation for us to see ourselves in a different light. So an understanding, when it gets missed, means we're not intimately seeing what's going on. So whenever there's a misunderstanding or there's a sense of like happening in our brains, we're like, I don't like this, or there's a point of judgment is usually our useful enough way of dealing with all these dynamics. Like, I'll just judge that out there so I don't have to deal with it in here. It's like a pressing away. It's an avoidance of into myself by I see. And it's an avoidance of having to do the extra work that can take. And sometimes that's what we actually need because we just don't have the resources to do it any other way. And sometimes we do have the resources to plow through it and to be with it and to understand it and to do the work that it takes to go through that, which is not always useful. So as we do that, we're in a cellular repair. On, I'm going to say the judgments that are behind the tendency to misunderstand and to misperceive at the level of your visual inputs. Okay, so that cellular repair also helps to restore cells back to their fullest potential of health. And as we do, I can put that much more plainly, as we're going to do a cellular repair on your vision, on your visual field, and how it is you're perceiving information. And then we're doing an emotional release of, it's actually a mix of sadness and grief around the misperception, around the misunderstanding. And the sadness is more on the right eye, the grief is more on the left eye. And they're literally right at the center point of your eye, the black portion. And it's literally almost like a little threshold or a point of emergence in how it is you're visually perceiving and receiving information. And we're just going to give that a little like polishing of that so you can more clearly see the mirror before you. Because the senses get cloudy at times. They get clouded, typically speaking, with our beliefs and how it is we're perceiving information. Not getting tainted because of those beliefs. We're actually going to bring in circulation of all the healing resources to that interface of where your eye literally meets the outside world and the inside world. And as we do that, the circulation is also going into the third eye and how it takes in that information when it isn't being avoided, when it isn't being misunderstood. But in a way where it can more clearly see what's happening and invite that to be shone onto through the sphenoid bone into the rest of the skull. So the sphenoid bone is thought to be like a microscope condenser, and it goes all the way through the entire middle of the skull. It connects all 30-ish skull bones. And it's meant to rock and move with the breath. Right now, in addition to circulation of all the healing resources, we need to free up the sphenoid a little bit as well so that information can get shone onto the brain. I'll talk about the freeing up of the sphenoid in just a moment. First, we're gonna go back to the circulation of all the healing resources, which is gonna include Blood that carries our passion. Nerve our communication. Lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. Along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down to all the little guys. Electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, help the system to heal at all levels, in particular the nervous system and the immune system. And then also working with, excuse me, so blood, nerve, lymph, and chi, consciousness, awareness, right down to all those little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, sounds, colors, frequencies of all the chakras. I have to go through this, pardon me, I'm having a moment. And then into the endocannabinoids, as we talked about, and then from there, got it now, the yin and the yang, the feminine and the masculine. It's a bad time for a menopausal brain fart, forgive me, y'all. And the yin, giving the deep, nourishing essence of the feminine. And I see that in particular going from the left eye to both halves of the brain. And then the yang, the masculine energy protection, going through the right eye and into, again, both halves of the brain. And as they are independently going through the eyeballs and going into the sides of the brain, they're crossing through the third eye to brush past that and to give it that same energetic embrace and resourcing. We're also going to run hydration, helping the cells to drink in water, enjoy, and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Okay, then, the sphenoid. To free that up, interestingly enough, it's being weighed down very heavily by some information, beliefs, thoughts, conditions, which we'll get into more in a moment. But it's anchoring into the heart one and lung one acupuncture points. So heart one is deep in the armpit, and lung one is more in the front of the armpit, but at or the front of the outside edge of the shoulder, right around there. And this armpit, this area of the body, is where your center of doing, in particular receiving, meets the capacity to be. So what is it you are looking to receive that's going to supportively allow you to rest in your being with even greater ease? Yeah, whatever that thing is, whatever it is we're looking for, and as it enters into the awareness of whatever it is yours is in this moment, that's going to be slightly different for you all. And there might not even be a word. It might be more just like a feeling or a sense of like, I'm going to follow a certain ache. I don't even know what it is, but I know I need that without even knowing what that thing is. And as we bring that to light in your own system, I see that coming in through very specifically, literally your breath, into the oxygenation of the blood cells entering through the heart stream and meeting that place where your breath infuses your blood with oxygenation, bringing in new life, bringing in new vitality, bringing in new beginnings, new possibilities, new opportunities. It's a spiritual spring. It's a spiritual spring. As that happens, I actually see the back of the heart chakra. Not that the heart chakra actually has a front, center, or back side. I'm taking some liberties here. But I'm seeing the back of the heart chakra almost form like a little shelf for your shoulder blade and your shoulder joint alike to almost like rest on. And as it's like ka-chunking back and resting on that shelf behind it on the heart, It's almost like the heart is saying, like, you actually get to rest some of those false responsibilities that you've taken on. It's not your job to prove anybody to anything. And it's not your job to set up conditions where you need to make sure you have to prove anything by means of self-doubt. And as we release the need for proving, to prove yourself, we also again relinquish the other side of that coin, the self-doubt. And I see the center between those two, much like a permission statement, the words, I know who I am. I know who I am. And then we're unhooking the habit pattern of, I'm going to say, not sticking up for yourself. Because you were too busy trying to prove it. That you didn't actually, you weren't able to just take that clean action of just doing what you needed to do. Because it was like, I have to make this make sense to you and I have to prove this so you understand why this has to be. Versus just being like, cutting all that out and going like, that doesn't work for me, no. Just to hopefully give an example that distinguishes that with greater clarity. And we're actually gonna run a Sidri on this. It's gonna continue for the next 7 days. And then I just hear like, and on the seventh day they rested, meaning on the seventh day, that's when the potential for this all to come to completion can arise. And there gets to be an embodiment of it, meaning it gets to rest in stillness, meaning it gets to rest in your earth element, meaning it gets to rest in your physical form. Okay, so that's Sidri. It's going to start with the same seed that I just went through, circulation of all the healing resources, followed by the rest of the Sidri. The D is for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking out the clutter that no longer needs to be here, and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Okay, and as that runs for the area of that shoulder blade, shoulder joints, all the way through the back of the heart, having almost like again, like a little shelf where all those responsibilities of needing to prove yourself get laid down. The heart itself is actually able to take all that information and to digest it. The heart brain is considered to be by far the most powerful. And it has a capacity for emotional baggage digestion that is bar none if we can take the personalness out of it just a little bit. I'm going to introduce a dad joke. Because my brain won't stop repeating it. But why was an emotional baggage originally called a grief case? I know, I told you it was a cheesy dad joke. So as that happens, as it all works through the back of the heart, the back of the heart itself, I just see the symbol of a spiral coming in to actually supportively allow things to literally digest it and then to bring in the new on the other side of that spiral. And I think the spiral is kind of cool because it's this never-ending portal place of bringing in while also releasing, and it has a capacity to create some flow. So it's interesting that that's coming in. As we're about to enter the astrological flow sequence and series in our next Buddhas and Butterflies year, which will begin in June. And you'll get more information on that today. Email slated to go out. Cellular Repair Day. We have one more coming up to do. And this is actually inherited. And it's actually going into perception as well. And it's the habitual family line, addiction to perfection and being perceived as such. So it's an addiction to like image and perception and needing to hold up a certain image and perception of oneself in order to be considered acceptable. And it's like the family as a whole, the unit as a whole, took that on to be acceptable in society, and society took that acceptability on to make it be culturally accepted. You get the idea, so on and so forth. And there's all this, like, everybody's trying to be accepted without necessarily accepting themselves, because in the attempting to be accepted by another, we automatically lose resources around being accepted by ourselves. And it becomes this chronic rejection of self in favor of acceptance by another. And that might just be the summary of the whole human condition in a nutshell. And in that place of rejection and acceptance, the immune system typically, excuse me, as I sneeze right on cue, the immune system typically has some things to say about that. And it's not like I'm, you know, 100% past all these dynamics in any way, shape, or form at all. And in the point of rejection, it's going into those places, into those spaces, into those times in which you basically abandoned yourself in favor of what somebody else might have wanted, to the point where you actually didn't even get to know what was in here, never mind had freedom to express it freely in a liberated way. Okay, and it's actually literally working with, again, as we've been saying, image perception. Pinning very specifically onto the thing that we govern perception with the most, which is like the beauty industry and face, hair, nails. See this. Don't see what's really here. See this false image, this fake image. See all the stuff that's over here. And it becomes its own form of potentially like learned acceptance. Versus being able to just literally accept ourselves as we are, naked, hairs, warts, and all. Which is, by the way, the point of free fall, for those of you who are familiar with that course and why we do nudity therapy. It's speaking to getting naked in your soul to accept what's really here, which is far below the thing that we show people out there. And that in turn is meant to balance the dynamics between the various different levels of all three brains, heart, gut, and head brain. It also works with your vitality center of your sexual chakra and its connection up to the heart chakra, which is more so what we talk about in a free fall perspective. And sometimes in free fall, depending upon what class you're in, where you might have heard it, where the class went organically, that vitality of the sexual chakra to the heart chakra was also meant to go up to the, and the harmony of the heart chakra was meant to go up to the head brain. So it's like the vitality of our life expression and our creativity within doing that, when it's no longer stifled by how we need to express ourselves in favor of the others, but we get to just freely express ourselves for our own enjoyment, gets to harmonically rise to the heart. When the brain gets a peek at that, it begins to come to stillness. It begins to come to rest. And it begins to access peace. So in this moment, we're actually going to connect all three of those centers, because there is, through the various different dynamics of last week's session and this week's, there is enough available for all of that to begin to be met in a new way, shall we say. It keeps going. I keep arguing with it, but it's keeping on going back to cell repair yet again. So restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're doing it for this lifetime. Oh, okay, and it actually is working with the thing that we were just outlining, the sexual chakra's vitality, with the heart chakra's harmony, and the brain's capacity to honor a resting point, meaning I get to lay down my judgments in favor of acceptance of what I want versus what I'm told I should want. And as we lay down the, shall we say, the story of you for just a second, I'm happy to hang on to that for you. And as I hold on to that for you, the energy gets to flow just a little bit more freely between those three centers. Knowing that I've got space to hold that all, I'm going to invite you to bring anything that no longer needs to be held by you as a personal story to the surface. Then I'm going to invite you to pass that to me, and I'm going to hang on to that for you. You can have it back whenever you want. You can just freely take it back whenever you want. But if you're open to just exploring for a minute and you put that down, and I hang on to it for you, I'm going to invite you to just check out what's here and to be really curious. And for each of you, that's going to be just a little bit different. No one can actually tell you what that is. It's actually work that you have to go through on your own insides of you. And as we do that, running lymphatic drainage of any low self-esteem that may have been garnered, as it often is, from the story that you were told about you, the false story of you. I swear, one more cell repair. This one's inherited, and it's going into dad's side of the family lines. And we're heading in the fairways back. We're going back 10 generations. And I keep asking, is it physical? Is it mental? Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? And it's like, no. It's actually impacting all of them. And there's just a certain amount of, let me say, necessary blindness or necessary ignorance that had to be in place for a period of time. And that you're actually arriving at a point where you get to do this with the resources they didn't have. So their wisdom isn't necessarily anchored in the current modern day resources that you do have. So we're not spending all day fighting for, our lives. We have a little bit easier access to some things than they did back in the day that we can argue may have come at different costs. And there's other resources that are just simply available here that weren't back for the last 10 generations. And because of that, some of the ancestral wisdom, although good in some ways, is a little bit out of date, meaning it's actually now safe to surrender. It's safe to not have to manage so much. It's safe to have more space for allowance. It's safe to let go of the various different ways that you have managed your perfect, or your attempt to perfect your image and how it is you are perceived by others. And in doing so, there's a little bit length of room, pardon me, a little bit more room to lay down some, I'm going to say, codependency. Then we're heading into the regular breathing diaphragm, And we're looking at its multitude of consciousness states that it governs. So holding on, moving on, integration, emotional processing, and control. I just keep seeing the various different colors in the rainbow enter it. And I see the various different colors of the rainbow in totality forming the essence of newness, of like new beginnings. And I'm flashing without remembering the story at all that's in the Christian book of the Bible of like Noah and the Ark, and there at one point I think might have been a rainbow. And another way, and I'm going to speak to it metaphorically, of that image that I'm seeing is we have everything that we need to start anew. We have everything we need to start anew. We have everything we need to start anew. And I keep seeing these visuals of how African slaves, when they escaped, would weave in their cornrows seeds. They would weave together little like slips of even plants if the hair was thick enough. So that way, when they got to their destination, they could plant things, they could grow food. And in part, it's symbolizing like the growth that can come through hardship, but also that after the other side of that hardship, there's actually the seeds that you need to plant into your new life to root into new beginnings. So it's working with the essence of trust in a very deep way, trust of self, trust of life, and trust of both self and life. And trust of life in self. And in a way, it becomes this co-creative dance of trust between you and life, which may have become a little bit distrustworthy over the dynamics of, let's say, blame victim around this happened to me, this was wrong, and the stifling that happens in those dynamics, which doesn't allow us to see the broader picture of what might be afoot because we're too gripped into it through our earlier traumas, our earlier misinformations that we received around the world, because that's what our caregiver knew, so we passed that on. They pass that on to us, we pass that on to them, and this is part of the human necessity. We cannot find what we've been looking for until we are good and lost. Seems to be the rhythm, narrow as I can make it or find it and locate it in other people's thought processes that spend a lot of time in these territories as well. That is all linking into a very interesting past life in the liver. Keeping in mind in past life, you don't think that you yourself have lived before, that you yourself want to live again. Rather, that when somebody passes on, all their unresolved issues enter into like a giant pool. When a new being comes into formation, they scoop up a bucket of pool water and they sort that out in their lifetime. Now, for the liver. I'm actually seeing in this past life, the liver looks like a dry desert, and it's like a time in which you planted seeds and the harvesting wasn't there. It was just this like dry, barren, hot season that didn't have sufficient rain to water it. Now, if you remember earlier, the grief and the sadness that we worked with in the eyes, right and left, It becomes the watering. It becomes the emotional processing that waters the liver in this body, in this form that you're in, without this past life cluttering that up anymore. You can actually release the, I'm going to say, the emotional stagnation of the grief, of the sadness, to allow it to water the necessary seeds that are planted already here in the liver. So again, the liver, as it's meant to create an energetic spring within us, can come to a fuller blossoming, a fuller offering of her magic. And then we're doing an emotional release of overwhelm from like the bottom of the liver. I'm seeing this all play out in a very nature-based scene. So the bottom of the liver, I'm seeing like implanted in earth, in actual dirt. And there is a sense of the foundation being a little bit too soggy and boggy here, and not having like firm ground to rest on, and a sense of things feeling kind of slidey and ungrounded in essence. So we're gonna run lymphatic drainage, clearing out any, not just toxins, gunk, waste, but also low self-esteem, overthinking and overanalyzing in particular, that are creating some slidey grounds here. And then we're releasing the, I'm gonna just call it the covering of the mind over the heart. And the mind covering over the heart is the drive for perfection, for everything to look just so, rather than honoring the messiness of what it is to be a human and to receive its gifts from the inside out. And it's all linking into permissions, and the words here are simply, I give myself permission to be messy. I give myself permission to be messy. It doesn't mean you need to mess up your outer environment, although I used to play with this idea at one point in time, because I've had such a long-standing history of, oh my God, I made a mess. From childhood, I was pretty klutzy, that I used to, on purpose, just practice, I'm gonna spill this. I did it with my partner the other day. He was like, oh honey, that's like, that overflowed. I'm like, yeah, it did. So I put some more water in a jug. I was like, hey honey, look. And I just dumped it on the floor in front of him. I was like, yeah. He's like, good one. I was like, right? Yeah. And through that began to like renegotiate something simple on the outside. And that might be the place where it's enough to work with. But I mean that more metaphorically, but please feel free to play with it out there if you want. And I meant it more metaphorically, though, around like it's safe to be messy and inside of you. Like, this doesn't actually need to be perfectly organized. It's not meant to. It's meant to be jostly and tumbly and churny, and it's meant to support you in your evolution of your consciousness. Yeah, but we if we turn away from that and we try to manage it into perfection, we actually usually make things a lot worse, and it usually boxes in the various things that are trying to get out, and it just becomes this fight. Yeah. So right now, this is an invitation to surrender some of that work, that fight. And in part do that by releasing a layer of will that's ready to go. I'm going to invite you to imagine, if you wish, open permission to not, to imagine that you can literally hand your will over to whatever you believe is greater than you, whatever your name for that is. Is that God? Is that source? Is that universe? Is that spirit? Is that the divine? Don't care what we call it. Whatever your name for that is, handing it over to the mystery. And that moment, there's like a pause of like, I don't know what's going to happen. And that's where the juicy adventure of like, hey, I actually don't know what's next. I don't actually need to manage or perfect that either. It's actually not by perfecting anything. It's by means of just simply being willing to open up into whatever's coming next. And it enters our scene. So in a way, this also to a degree speaks to the consciousness and manifestation amongst everything that we've expressed throughout this entire session, really. And that's all linking into the solar plexus chakra to land in a sense of, I'm going to say, personal empowerment. And here we're just simply running the permissions of this is a possibility. Like, I can do this. This is a possibility. I can do this. This is a possibility. I can do this. And it's like in that moment, we say a little yes to the possibility of whatever needs to be midwifed through our soul, arriving in a way that we can actually embrace it with open arms. So, how openly can we receive the adventures of our life that are orchestrated in our soul? How softly can we say yes as we surrender into whatever life is offering us next? Knowing that, yes, there was pain at times, and yes, we survived those pains. So, yes, whatever's coming next, it's possible. I can do this. And then we're linking that into both big toes and the crown of the head to help you literally stay in your body, to stay grounded as you navigate whatever's coming next in life. I'm going to invite you to breathe, and we're going to tap this all in here. And I just see almost like at a pause point, yet again, a point of stillness. Like, I'm no longer accountable for what happened to me, but I get to lay it down so I can move forward and be accountable for what comes next. And in order to do that, I'm gonna need to practice accountability around what came before. And on that note, it's linking into final integration of today's session into the base of the throat, pardon me, the base of the underside of the chin, where the heart meridian is meant to rise in a way where, like, our heart takes flight and it's meant to energetically rise up into our head to allow for our easeful soaring, which is what happens. It's what's available on the other side of those surrendering of the blame victim dynamics and seeing it from a different perspective and making our way through that territory when there's sufficient resources available. And when there isn't sufficient resources available, then it's our job to rest, not to have to keep fighting through that same thing because it's not going to work until we're rested enough to make our way through it in a different way. Tapping that all in as we link that all into the chin. I don't know about you, but if you were told to, like, just keep your chin up and keep going, I invite you right here and now to drop that chin to rest, to not have to keep going in that same way. And with that, I see a clear passage through all seven chakras, through your central channel. And as it distills into further levels of clarity. I invite you to rest in the resources that you may have found at the beginning of the session, and that you rest in the sweetness of this life for the next 3.5 minutes. Invitation to breathe, rest, receive.
Such sweet sweet life of mine, sweet life, such sweet.
Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you for the gift that is you. And thank you for the medicine that you carry as you walk in this world. Let this medicine be enough. You have everything you need. All my love, as you head off into the rest of your day, I'm available to stick around if anybody would like any additional support. And you are receiving an email later today around next year's Buddha Zen and Butterflies. For those of you that are continuing members, the automatic processing of your payment will happen at the end of this month, early June, depending upon when you signed up last. And this year, I'm not going to be doing transform emotions into energy to promote it. As widely as I have found dropping off of results in that way, and also I don't have the resources this year to do it. So I'd love your support and your resources if you have any to spare in promoting it and inviting other people to it so that it can continue on. Okay, my loves. Mwah. Wishing you a beautiful rest of your day and your week ahead. Bye for now, y'all. Love, much love back to you too. Yeah, and you're most welcome. Yes, to all the thank yous. My pleasure. Bye for now, y'all.